Good morning to everyone. It is a real pleasure to see everyone out this morning. A good house. Got a lot of visitors. It's just good to see everybody here. It's good to see Michael Allen. Mike had a real rough Tuesday, but no lasting problems. It's good to see everyone out. My assignment this month is to talk about the temptations of sin. So we're going to talk this morning about the three types of temptations that cause us to sin. For a verse to set my lesson off, I can go to the first book of John, chapter 2 and verse 16, where the Bible says, "For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." To prevent temptation and prevent us from sinning against God and not being right in His sight, we've got to understand what temptations are about. We have to understand what they are, and we have to understand that there is a way that we can avoid these things. The Bible tells us here that all temptations or all sin comes from a root of three temptations. John said this is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And from these three temptations, either one or two or even three of them working in tandem, people sin. Every human being that has ever been or will ever be born will be tempted by these three temptations to sin. There are three types of sins, and we talked about this several months ago. We have the sin of commission. A sin of commission is doing the things that we should not do, things that are wrong. We have sins of omission. Sins of omission are not doing the things that we know to do that are right. And then we have sins of disposition. These are sins of attitude, sins of the heart. Murder is a sin of commission, but to plan a murder or to think about a murder or to harbor a murder in our heart is a sin of attitude. It's a sin of a heart, and it's equally sin. Now this morning we're going to talk about the three temptations of sin that every human being will have to encounter. John said that every adult human in history will be tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's important that we realize how to not fall into these temptations. Let's go to Heavenly Father in prayer. We're going to talk this morning about the three temptations that we all have to endure, that we need to be knowledgeable about so that we will not fall for the tricks that Satan puts before us and that calls us to sin. John said that we have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are three areas of temptations that work in tandem or separately to cause us to sin. Let's go through these one at a time and let's see just what they mean. Let's define them. And then let's see if we can figure out a way that we can defeat these. The lust of the flesh, defined, is to the temptation that we have as human beings to feel physical pleasure from a sinful activity. The temptation to feel physical pleasure in our humanly bodies from something that is sinful. To do something that makes the flesh feel satisfied. This is a definition of a lust of the flesh. And it can be involved in any type of activity which brings pleasure to the human body. Examples of lust of the flesh we can find in the Bible. Sexual sins are right at the top of the list. Things that are wrong in a sexual nature. Gossip. Gossip is this fact that people use to bring someone else down so that they can in fact bring themselves up in their own mind. Physical violence. Someone does something wrong with you and you hit him and break his jaw. You know, you can feel pretty good about it, but this is a pleasure, a lust of the flesh. It's not allowed. That's not the way God allows us to do things. We've got drug usage. This is, again, something, a sin, a lust of the flesh, whether it be a cocaine, a marijuana, whether it be a heroin addiction, whether it be alcohol, tobacco. All of these things are things that are temptations that fall under the category of lust of the flesh, which would cause us as human beings to be tempted to do these things that would cause us to fall into sin. The Apostle Paul gave us an example, even gave us a list of these things that are included in lust of the flesh. when he wrote in Galatians 5:19 through 21. He also told us that when we fall, when we succumb to the lust of the flesh, that there is a consequence, that there is a price that we pay when we fall to these things and sin. I want to read to you from Galatians 5:19 through 21. This is the list that Paul has made that tells us what lust of the flesh are. And he begins this writing. He said, "The lust of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance," and this means controversy, contrary to the law or to ordinances, emulations, this means that would imitate someone to try and get to strive to be better than he is, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they that do such things shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is a pretty long list. This is a pretty detailed list. There's a lot of things here that are included in the lust of the flesh that Paul is warning us about. You need to be aware of these things. You don't want to fall into these problems because they will lead to sin. Lust of the eyes. That's the next thing that John talks about in his writing. To define lust of the eyes is the temptation to look upon things that we should not be looking upon. To want things or to have things that we should not have. When we cast our eyes on something with desire or pleasure that God has told us that we could not have, then we have fallen to the temptation of lust of the eyes. The sin of coveting is brought about in the Old Testament. In fact, it was the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." In our capitalistic society today, we don't work too much on covetousness, but covetousness is a sin. To covet something means that we have a yearning or a very strong desire to have something that rightfully belongs to someone else. We have examples that are given to us in the Bible. If someone's material possessions, his wealth, if we are envious and lustful of having the same amount of money or the wealth that someone else has had, then we're falling into this category of temptation. If we are looking for status that we have not earned or an appearance that we have not earned, if we covet their wife, as the Bible says, we have committed this lust of the eyes. Anything that's sinful and has a visual appeal and wanting it so that we can enjoy that visual appeal, if we do this, we have fallen for the lust of the eyes. In the second chapter of Samuel, we read the account of David and Bathsheba. This is a perfect example of lust of the eyes. When David saw Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, and then the terrible, terrible consequences that happened to David and to his family for years and years after. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11:2, it said, "It came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and that woman was beautiful to look upon." Wasn't any problem until he went to the next step after looking at the beautiful woman. Because that's when David began to make his plans that he would have that woman. It resulted in the death of her husband, and it resulted in many, many problems with his own family because David had to have this woman, and he took the steps to have her with very serious consequences. Lust of the eyes. It'll get you. It's a very strong temptation. And when we look on something or covet something that we have no legal right to, then we have fallen into that problem. Some things we are not allowed to have. The third thing that John says in the way of temptation is the pride of life. If we were to define pride of life, it would be a temptation for excess greatness or power that we all feel the temptation to obtain. I want power. I want authority. I want to be the top in my business or whatever I'm doing. And I'll do anything in the world that I can do so that I can be above everyone else. This is pride of life. This is one of the temptations John warns us about. Pride is one of the sins that has been a problem of mankind since the very beginning. It was pride that caused that beautiful angel, Lucifer, before the beginning of the world, to turn into Satan. He was prideful. He wanted to be God. He wanted to have the power and the authority of God. And it caused Satan, Lucifer, an angel, caused him to become Satan, which is now being condemned. Pride of life could be desiring to get credit or to get glory for something that we have not done. Someone else accomplishes something and we try and take this individual's accomplishments. Desiring others to worship us or to hold ourselves on a pinnacle in a position of being esteemed, to make a name for ourselves. And there are people in this world that want and have people worshiping them and try to put themselves up into these positions. Desire to feel more important or more valued than anyone else around us. And then I guess the biggie, desiring to be in a position of power and strength and authority and having that power that we can exercise over everyone else. Jesus said that those that desire to be great should be the greatest servant and not the most powerful. We've all heard that old saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is the problem with power and the pride of life. Satan himself, so filled with pride, made the statement in Isaiah 14 and 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. I will be God. I will take His authority. I will take His power. I want His place. These are the three defined. Let's look at them in action. Sometimes they work individually. Sometimes two of them will work together. And oftentimes, all three of these temptations will work in tandem, one with the other, and will cause an individual to sin. I want to give you two examples, again, from the Bible, where Satan tempted an individual with all three of these, and on one he was successful, and on the other he was not successful. The first time he used this was in the Garden of Eden. And as a snake, as a serpent, he went to the woman, Eve, and he deceived this woman and he betrayed this woman. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 6 that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now remember when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He said, there's one tree here that I do not want you to eat. Do not eat of this one tree. If you do, then you're going to die. Okay, Satan now comes to Eve, and he's talking about this one tree. He said that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's lust of the flesh. This is something I can have. The fruit of this tree that has been forbidden to me, but it's something that is good for me. It will make my body feel good. I want the fruit of that tree, lust of the flesh. And it was pleasant to the eyes. There's lust of the eyes. There's your second temptation. And a tree to be desired, Satan told her, that would make one wise. There's your pride of life right there. I'm going to be equal to God. I'm going to be as wise as God. I want to be equal to Almighty God. And after all three of these temptations, the Bible said that she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he also did eat. She fell to the temptation that Satan put above her, in front of her, and it caused her to sin, and it caused her to be kicked out of paradise. And we today still suffer the consequences of the sin of Eve. Brian talked about this Wednesday night. This comes from the fourth chapter of Matthew, verses 3 through 10. This is the second time that Satan has used these three temptations to try and cause someone to sin. And this is after Jesus was 40 days and nights. And now Satan has approached Jesus, and he's going to use these temptations on Jesus. We'll read Matthew 4, 3 to 10. It said that the tempter, this is Satan, the tempter came to him, Jesus, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made unto bread. There's your lust of the flesh right there. Make these stones bread so that you can eat them and it's good for your body. There's your first temptation. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then The devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setting him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash thy foot against a stone. Pride of life. Jesus, you're more important than anybody else. God's going to protect you. Anything you do, God will protect you. You fall off this thing, you jump off this pinnacle, God's going to send angels that pick you up supernaturally and protect you. All you have to do is just jump off. Fall off. Pride of life. You're better than everybody else, Jesus. You need to show that to everyone. Show it to me, Satan says. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, is what Jesus said unto him. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showing him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Lust of the eyes. Look at the kingdoms out here, Jesus. Look at these wonderful, this rich, the wealth of all of these kingdoms. Lust of the eyes. And saith unto him, all these things I will give unto you, if you will just fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 4, verses 3 through 10. You've got the lust of the flesh, you've got the lust of the eyes, and you've got the pride of life. All three of these temptations were thrown out to Jesus, and Jesus was able to avoid every one of them. He did not sin. And there's not many of us. There's not many of us that could be offered what Satan offered Jesus that would not be resisted to sin and to take him up on his offer. I think it's important, though, when we get to thinking about these things that we can do and the things that we cannot do, that it's important to realize that it's not a sin to enjoy physical pleasure. It's not wrong to feel good. It's not wrong to enjoy yourself. God does not mean for us to not have pleasure in life. There's nothing wrong with food. And there's nothing wrong with a delicious meal. About 40 years ago, I went down to the coast to see my grandmother and granddaddy when they were camping out. And grandma told grandpa, go. I had no idea what was going on. But we loaded up and went down to the Gulf of Mexico. And my granddad went out there on a shrimp boat that just came in and loaded up with Gulf of Mexico shrimp. Now, if there's one thing that I love, it is fried shrimp. It's the greatest thing in the world. And we got back to the camp, and my grandmother started cooking. And she said, I am going to cook, and you're going to eat until you cannot stuff another one of these things in your head. For 1 hour, Grandma fixed shrimp. Greatest meal in the world. I will never even get close to accomplishing that again. I don't think I sinned unless you count gluttony. Because I know gluttony, but there's nothing wrong with good food. There's nothing wrong with enjoying food because God gave it to us to enjoy. There is nothing wrong with sex when it's in the proper concept, in the proper context. God allowed a man to marry a woman, and the man and a woman make a commitment to themselves, and the intimacy between a man and his wife, there's not a thing in the world wrong with it. But God did say that adultery, that's with another man's wife, that's not allowed. And he did say fornication, that's sex between two people that are unmarried. He said that's a no-no. But the love and the intimacy between a man and his woman, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And it's allowed. There's nothing at all wrong with it. There's nothing wrong in looking at beautiful things. And there's great things that we can look at and enjoy. Paul always opens his lessons with the sky and the constellations and the stars. It's unbelievable the beauty that we see. I have driven through the Tetons in western Wyoming and in eastern Idaho and in eastern Montana. I've been to Yellowstone Park. I've looked at the mountains and that. It's the most beautiful place in the world. There's nothing wrong with looking at the beauty that is in nature. But when we look at things lustfully that God has commanded us to avoid, it becomes sin. So we need to realize that God doesn't want us to be miserable, and He doesn't allow us to not enjoy life and to have pleasures, but He puts limits on what we can do, and those limits are meant to protect us. There's nothing wrong with having ambition. There's nothing wrong with going to school. There's nothing wrong with having a career. There's nothing wrong with having a plan to make that career work. But when we fail to give the glory to God, or we try and take the works of others for our own, or when we have an excess of power that we want because we have puffed ourselves up or our own ego, then we have become entangled with the pride of life. Let's bring this to a conclusion. John said, Paul said, we will all be tempted in this way. All mankind. No one is exempt. Never have been, never will be. Even Jesus was not exempt from the temptations of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But, thankfully, God has promised us that He will never, ever allow us to be tempted above that that we are able to endure. God will always, He has promised us, and He will give us an escape option. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, and this is a verse that means something. The 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, you're all going to have to endure this. You're all going to be faced with these temptations. You need to learn how to overcome them. But then he continues, he said, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that that you are able. God knows our limits. God knows our strengths. He knows what we can, how much we can take, how far we can take. And he says, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to suffer. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. No matter how tempting, no matter the situation, no matter how strong it is, God is with us and knows our capabilities and will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond the degree that we are able to handle. That's why we should always choose obedience to God over falling for the temptation. You know, you go back and you read about old King Saul that had everything in the world going until he disobeyed God. And the prophet finally told Saul, Saul, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. So we always have the opportunity and the option to choose obedience over sin. So how do we respond to these temptations? I already read it to you. We read it in Matthew 4, verses 3 through 10. When Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus gave him back God's words. He was able to answer him from the Word of God, and he was able to rebuke him. Get behind me, Satan. We don't live by bread alone, Satan. And told us that God, that man is made to serve only God, not you. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. So when we're tempted, regardless of whether it's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, or pride of life, how do we answer the temptation? We answer it with the Word of God. Because God has told us what we can do, and He's told us what we cannot do, and it is incumbent on us to know the difference and to be able to understand this and responsibly answer the temptations as we come across them, and every one of us will. May God deliver us from temptation. May God keep us from the evil one. May God keep us and deliver us from falling into the temptations of Satan, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We'll offer an invitation song at this time. If there's any way we can help you in any way, come forward as we sing.